funny if you don't go, and I want particularly to be in with Mrs. MacKillop just now.
I know. You want one of her smoke Persian kittens as a prospective wife for Wumples. Or a husband, is it?
Reginald has a magnificent scorn for details other than sartorial.
And I am expected to undergo social martyrdom to suit the connubial exigencies.
Reginald, it's nothing of the kind. Only I'm sure Mrs. MacKillop would be pleased if I brought you. Young men of your brilliant attractions are rather at a premium at her garden parties.
Should be at a premium in heaven,
remarked Reginald complacently.
There will be very few of you there, if that is what you mean, but seriously, there won't be any great strain upon your powers of endurance. I promise you that you shan't have to play croquet, or talk to the archdeacon's wife, or do anything that is likely to bring on physical prostration. You can just wear your sweetest clothes and moderately amiable expression, and eat chocolate creams with the appetite of a blasé parrot. Nothing more is demanded of you.
Reginald shut his eyes.
There will be the exhaustingly up-to-date young women who will ask me if I have seen Santoy, a less progressive grade who will yearn to hear about the Diamond Jubilee, the historic event, not the horse. With a little encouragement, they will inquire if I saw the Allies march into Paris. Why are women so fond of raking up the past? They're as bad as tailors, who invariably remember what you owe them for a suit long after you've ceased to wear it.
I'll order lunch for 1 o'clock. That will give you 2.5 hours to dress in. Reginald puckered his brow into a tortured frown, and I knew that my point was gained. He was debating what tie would go with which waistcoat. Even then, I had my misgivings. During the drive to the MacKillops, Reginald was possessed with a great peace, which was not wholly to be accounted for by the fact that he had inveigled his feet into shoes a size too small for them. I misgave more than ever, and having once launched Reginald onto the MacKillop's lawn, I established him near a seductive dish of marron glacé and as far from the archdeacon's wife as possible. As I drifted away to a diplomatic distance, I heard with painful distinctness the eldest Mawkby girl asking him if he had seen Santoy. It must have been 10 minutes later, not more, and I had been having quite an enjoyable chat with my hostess and had promised to lend her the Eternal City and my recipe for rabbit mayonnaise and was just about to offer a kind home for her third Persian kitten when I perceived, out of the corner of my eye, that Reginald was not where I had left him and that the marron glacé were untasted. At the same moment I became aware that old Colonel Mendoza was essaying to tell his classic story of how he introduced golf into India, and that Reginald was in dangerous proximity. There are occasions when Reginald is caviar to the Colonel.
"When I was at Pune in 76,
"My dear Colonel," purred Reginald, "fancy admitting such a thing, such a giveaway for one's age. I wouldn't admit being on this planet in 76.
Reginald, in his wildest lapses into veracity, never admits to being more than 22. The Colonel went to the colour of a fig that has attained great ripeness, and Reginald, ignoring my efforts to intercept him, glided away to another part of the lawn. I found him a few minutes later, happily engaged in teaching the youngest rampage boy the approved theory of mixing absinthe within full earshot of his mother. Mrs. Rampage occupies a prominent place in local temperance movements. As soon as I had broken up this unpromising tête-à-tête and settled Reginald where he could watch the croquet players losing their tempers, I wandered off to find my hostess and renew the kitten negotiations at the point where they had been interrupted. I did not succeed in running her down at once, and eventually it was Mrs. MacKillop who sought me out, and her conversation was not of kittens.
"Your cousin is discussing Zaza with the archdeacon's wife. At least he is discussing. She is ordering her carriage."
She spoke in the dry staccato tone of one who repeats a French exercise, and I knew that as far as Millie MacKillop was concerned, Wumples was devoted to a lifelong celibacy.
"If you don't mind," I said hurriedly, "I think we'd like our carriage ordered too."